How many of you have a cousin Eddie in your family somewhere? You just can't say who they are till the holidays are over. I think we all do. 30 years ago, this movie came out, and it was the last time that my mother, father, me, and my two siblings went to a movie without children or spouses. And my father was always a huge Chevy Chase fan, and Rodney Dangerfield, if I'm just going to be honest with you. I think that was his stress reliever from pastoral ministry. And I know he loved the cynicism of Chevy Chase, but this brother laughed like you've never seen anybody laugh at the theater when we went to see it, and it's become somewhat of a tradition. Of course, we don't believe in all the language used in it, and we know that it doesn't all uplift the Lord. But I believe if you're kingdom-minded, you can find grace in everything if you know the Word of God. And I believe today we're going to show you something that perhaps you haven't seen before. But what a funny scene. How many of us can relate to the lampoons? I can't tell you how many times as a father I've scheduled a vacation or something that I thought would bring me a level of nostalgia and make me feel like I did that one time when I was 9 years old. Like, if we can go to the water park, or we can go to this, and we'll do this. And then you get in the middle of it, and it's complete misery. The brothers are fighting. Kelly and I are fighting, about to run off the road. And you're wondering, like, why did I even plan this? We all have those moments. Because oftentimes we all lack peace. We all lack shalom. If there was one piece of advice I could give to Chevy Chase, it would be that, brother, you need some peace. You need some shalom. And I believe this Christmas season, we need the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ that brings us peace, that brings us joy, that brings us into completion, into His kingdom. We need the gift that is indescribable. That gift is the name above every name. It is Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the title of my message this morning is indeed The Gift That Keeps on Giving. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 21, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people." Somebody say, I'm sitting around my people. You are my people. "He will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." You will have peace when you understand that God sits at the right hand of the Father in His Son, Jesus Christ. He makes intercession for you, and He is involved in your daily affairs. When you understand that because of Jesus, God is with us, He is with you, He is in the midst of your addictions, He is in the midst of your problems, He is in the midst of your struggles, He is in the midst of your doubts, He is in the midst of transition, He is in the midst of death, but He reigns victorious over it. When you understand who He is and what He said and what He was called to be, and you understand that this wasn't some folk story, this wasn't a Christmas carol, this was a part of history that changed humanity. This baby boy being born of a virgin in the house of bread, Bethlehem, Bethlehem, the house of bread, prophesied that he was coming out of Nazareth. What good can come out of Nazareth? What good can come out of your family? What good can come out of your story? What good can come out of your struggle? Oh, Jesus is a reminder that no matter what you've done or where you've been or what mistakes you've made, there's some good that can come out of Nazareth. But there's some good that can come out of you too, amen? There's some good that can come out of your story. There's some good that can come out of your struggle this Christmas season. If you have the gift that keeps on giving, Jesus Christ is the perfect gift. He is the only gift
worth celebrating during the Christmas season. I'm thankful for Santa Claus, and I'm thankful for movies, and I'm thankful for all the pageantry that we all enjoy. But the reason for the season is Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is not just another story. It's a part of history. It indeed changed humanity and gives us all a roadway, a pathway into heaven to be reunited with the King of this kingdom that we are to seek first while we were on this earth. As I told you, a quadrillion plus 30,000 zeros is the percentage of what it would mean for one person to fulfill as many prophecies as Jesus did. A quadrillion plus 30,000 zeros. One person can hardly fulfill two prophecies, but a quadrillion plus 30,000 zeros. That's what our Savior did. It wasn't an accident. It's the truth. He was born. He lived. He died for our sins. He got up out of the grave on the third day. He commissioned his church. He walked among them healed. He promised us he would never leave us and that he would come again for his church. And I'm telling you, this Christmas season, he's coming again. He's coming again. Whatever you're dealing with, as long as you don't quit, you win. Because he's coming back to make all things new. There's a few prophecies that haven't been fulfilled yet. He will make all things new, and we will reign with him for 1,000 years. Isaiah would say in chapter 9, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace." Remember, that's what Chevy Chase needed, peace. "The increase of his peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts," the zeal, the Spirit of the Lord, "will perform this." When it says unto us, that is the gift of humanity. Everybody say humanity. "Unto us a child is born." When it says a son is given, that is the gift of sacrifice. You love what you're willing to sacrifice for. How much money have you spent on your children, their education, their opportunities, so that they can have what you didn't have? You'll sacrifice for that which you love. The gift of humanity, the gift of sacrifice, the government is the gift of a new kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't come preaching Romans Road or the sinner's prayer. He came talking about a government, a kingdom that God's people could walk in. And if we would ever grab hold of that, we would understand that there's so much more for us. Wonderful. Hebrew word pele. Wise beyond human ecstasy. This is the gift of wisdom. When you accept Jesus, it's a gift of sacrifice. It's a gift of humanity. But it's also a gift of wisdom. The Holy Spirit, the hero within, comes on the inside of you. And you think about things differently. You see things other people don't see. You walk differently. You talk differently. No, this is not a religious code of conduct. I'm talking about a kingdom, friend. You sense spiritual things that other people don't sense. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about confidence in the King. Jesus, you see things. The gift of wisdom, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. It's a gift of power. When you accept Jesus, he gives you power to finish. How many of you need some power? Power to beat what you're struggling with this morning. Power to finish the race. Power to stay in the fight. Power to just to make it through Christmas because you're hurting so bad. You don't know if you make it another day. I'm telling you, he gives you power that'll make a way out of no way. And I'm telling you, when I embraced him as Savior, when I grabbed hold of this indescribable gift, when the Holy Spirit touched my life, things haven't always been perfect, roses, candles, and peachy. But I can promise you this, when I get backed into a corner, when I don't know where to go, there is a power I can call on. There is a name I can say. There is a grace that I feel. And I know that no matter how bad it gets, how dark it gets, There is a light, the light of Hanukkah, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that will shine down and carry me and radiate off me because of the doxa, his glory. I don't know about you, but if you've never been caught up in his glory, then all you've ever been caught up in is religion. And I don't give two cents about religion, but if you can ever just have a moment in his glory, if you can ever just have a moment in the glory, it'll change your life. Mary understood it. The wise men understood it. The shepherds understood it. Glory. Being able to recognize things that other people can't recognize. Everlasting Father is a gift of security. He sent his spirit into our hearts crying out, Abba, Father. We talked about this week one. It fills the Father void. When you accept Jesus, it fills the Father void. Some of you had good fathers. Some of you had absentee fathers. Some of you had no fathers. It really doesn't matter. Because of Jesus, you are now connected to a Father. And everything that you need and more is found in that relationship. He is everlasting Father. And oh yes, he's Prince of Peace. The gift of peace. We have more people on anxiety medication now than ever before. It's something that I struggle with. I'll be real with you. I'm people all the time, and there are times where I'm like, if I see another person, I'm going to go nuts. Because I love people. It's what I do. It's my passion. But sometimes I got to fill up before I can pour out again. We got more people on medicine to sleep, anxiety, trying to plan vacations and Christmas gatherings to feel some kind of ecstasy, some kind of joy. When all we need is the indescribable gift, the Prince of Peace that brings peace. Let me just stop what I'm doing and let me just pray over you before I finish this message. Heavenly Father, send your shalom spirit this Hanukkah. Send your peace over everybody in this room. Lord, the peace that passes all understanding, heal the sick, heal emotions, heal addictions. I declare peace over the atmosphere this morning, that things will begin to change in your spirit, that your emotional makeup, your DNA will begin to shift towards joy and peace this season like never before. When bad memories come up into your mind from Christmas past, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. And in him, you'll receive the fullness of joy. Shalom. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus Christ is the indescribable gift. In him, there is fullness of joy. There is peace that passes all understanding. There is eternal life. The Father void is filled. The forgiveness void is filled. The future void is filled. He completed it. He finished it. It is finished. Many of us spend our lives asking God to do what he has already done, to pay for that which is already paid for. We beg him for healing. He already healed us. We beg him for money. He already paid for everything we would ever need. Because in our three-dimensional mind, we're looking at our lives from this perspective. If we don't understand that our lives are spent in eternity, not here. You may not get the healing you want here, but you are already healed if you're saved. You may not prosper like you want to here, but you're already prospered if you're saved. We ask God for things he has already paid the price for, written the note for, signed it in his own blood. We need to start asking God for connection, not causes. Connect with the King and watch what he'll do when you confess. After a time of connection, things will begin to happen. I told you a year and a half ago, I was praying and the Lord convicted me. I was listening to the great Miles Monroe, greatest teacher on kingdom that ever walked the face of the earth. And he was preaching and getting wound up in one of his messages. But he didn't scream a lot. He taught. And I like teachers when I'm getting fed. And he challenged his congregation there in the Bahamas. He said, stop praying for causes and start asking God for connection. And it transformed my prayer life. I had two doctorate degrees, heard the greatest preachers ever. I'd never heard that before. And the Lord convicted me, and I said, Lord, I'm not asking you for simple, silly stuff anymore. I'm asking your kingdom to be connected to what I'm dealing with. And it has changed my life. And I challenge you as you strive for peace in this season, connect with him first and let the causes take care of themselves. I challenge you, if you're dealing with sin, you confess your sins. But if you focus on your sins, you'll never get to where God wants you to get to. I have so many people come down the aisle over the last 13 or 14 years, and they've got this list. Man, everything they've ever done wrong. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. And one time, I was early in my ministry. I told this person, I said, we're going to symbolically take your list, and we're going to crumple it up. We're going to throw it in the garbage. Because all you're focusing on is your struggles. Focus on Jesus, the indescribable gift. And after a while, that list of eight will go to six. Then it'll go to four. Then it'll go to three. And when you're walking in the Holy Ghost, you might for a day or two make it to zero. But if we're all being honest, we've always got something on the list. And if you don't believe that, you don't line up with me theologically or the Bible. Because I'm telling you this, the only way you'll ever be worth anything is through the righteousness and the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't do it in your own strength. I tell people, if you like, whatever you like about me is Jesus. Whatever you don't like about me is Ronnie. What you like about me is the light of the Lord. What you don't like about me is flesh that hadn't been crucified yet. It's flesh that I hadn't gotten a hold of yet. Oh, but I'm telling you, it's an indescribable gift. Our future is guaranteed in this gift. We are a new creation. So let's talk about the gift. When I'm thinking about a gift, how to give a gift, the value of a gift, there's some things the Lord gave me about a gift. And if you're still shopping for Christmas, maybe these things will help you. In regards to the gift that keeps on giving, first, it matters where the gift came from. See, you may not can afford Armani, but make no mistake about it, people are interested in where a gift came from. When I was young and married, we didn't have a whole lot of money. So I would go to the shops that carried the name brand stuff, and I'd get something name brand, and I'd make Mom wrap it real good for Kelly. Even though it only cost $14, it looked like it cost $100. Cut the price tag off, somebody say amen. Cut the sales tag off. Because it matters where the gift came from. Let me tell you this. The Bible says every good gift in James 1:17 and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He came from heaven down through the first Adam, onward to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through the tribe of Judah, through a wild child named David, born of a virgin at the house of bread. Herod threatened to kill him. Herod came from Esau, that cursed line. Herod wanted to kill him, but he realized he could not touch this indescribable gift. Daniel prophesied about this soon coming king that would die for mankind, said that the temple would be destroyed and he would fulfill every authentic prophecy ever spoken in the Hebrew culture. Let me tell you, it matters where the gift came from. This indescribable gift came from a place you know not of. It came from heaven. I don't know about you, but I get to thinking about heaven during Christmas. Amen. I get to thinking about lost loved ones and lost friends and missed opportunities. And I get to thinking about a glorified body. No more fat. Hallelujah. No more crud. Man, I've been to the doctor twice this week. No more coughing and hacking and flesh junk. No more issues. Revelation says no more tears. No more sorrow. No more pain, no more addiction, no more cancer, no more struggle. Man, I don't know about you, but the gift that keeps on giving, it matters where it came from. It came from heaven. Number two, it matters what the gift looks like. You don't want some wrinkled up, ragged thing. Now, if it is, that's okay. Because let me tell you, Jesus didn't look like much. Born in a manger, surrounded by animals, called his mama a loose woman, called him a rebel rouser, called him a man that hung with prostitutes and sinners, a recluse, a wild man, messing up the religious establishment, knew too much on everybody. So they thought they could kill him, but all they did was promote him. You see, some of you don't understand that when people are attacking you and you're taking all kinds of blows from the enemy and you're under persecution and things are happening to you that you don't deserve, because let me tell you, I've been there and I've walked it. I just don't have time this morning. I'm talking year after year, unfair hand, unfair thing. I don't deserve this. What you need to understand is all that is happening to you is your inner man is being built up, preparing you for the next level. And eventually, the Bible makes this clear, that he'll prepare a table for you in the presence of thine enemies. And let me tell you, when he does that, you'll be so in love with Jesus, you'll pick up the tab for your enemies. I've seen God do it. I remember my friend Jody Dunnigan, Cameron's in the house. Trey was about 4 years old. See, we had Trey so young, all of our friends didn't have kids, so he kind of got spoiled because we would invite our friends to the birthday, and nobody had a kid yet, so everybody bring him all these extravagant gifts. Well, Jody's kind of a fashion guru, maybe. It just depends, you know. But Jody likes to wear pink. So Trey's about 5 years old. And Jody had bought this pink polo, like what he wears, and wrapped it real nice. And I didn't know what Jody was getting him. And Trey opens this for his birthday. And Trey threw a doggone fit over it being pink. It was so bad I had to take him and teach him the rod of correction in the bathroom. He acted like such a jerk over it. But now we laugh about it. Because I'm telling you, he didn't like the color pink. At five, he thought that was for girls. And so it mattered what the gift looked like. And I'm going to tell you, it matters what the gift looks like. But it doesn't matter what people say about the way you look. The Bible says God looks on the heart. And well, you may not look like much, but God sees a lot in you. God sees potential and purpose in you. God will use you. But you've got to get your mind off what other people say and how things look in the natural man and open your spiritual eyes, and you'll see what God can do. Number three, it matters what benefits the gift offers. What benefits the gift offers. Romans 5 says this, and the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. So what God's offering us is different. Grace is different. It's not the same old religious code of conduct to get us free. For it is by grace we've been saved. We keep working for what's already been paid for. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, Adam. But the gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive an abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So you remember the woman at the well? I mean, here's a Samaritan woman, been married five times, had a horrible reputation. She's going to get some water at the hottest part of the day because she's ashamed. She don't want to bump into anybody. Some of you, whatever condition you're in, you don't want to bump into anybody because you're ashamed of your past. And so she's on her way there at the hottest part of the day, and she ran into the indescribable gift, the gift that keeps on giving. His name was Jesus. Jews weren't supposed to talk to Samaritans. Men weren't supposed to talk to women. But my Savior did not give a flying flip. He offered her water that wouldn't run dry. He had to get her out of her religious mindset because she was trying to figure out where she was supposed to worship before she even understood who to worship. Some of you are so busy focused on where to worship and you don't even yet know who to worship. His name is Jesus. Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God, if you understood his grace, if you understood his love, if you understood his peace, if you understood the gift to humanity, your assurance for heaven, your hope in glory, if you understood the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Living water. Oh, I'm telling you, if you understood the gift of Jesus, it'll change your life. Next, it matters how long the gift will hold its value. How long the gift will hold its value. Now, we live in a culture where gifts don't hold their value. Every time I get an iPhone, I don't even learn how to use it before it's out of style. I've struggled. I don't know about you, but like I've struggled buying Christmas gifts this year for my kids because everything's wireless, Seth, and you instead of buying a new gaming console, you just upgrade the one you've got. You just pay a thing, and you don't buy gifts anymore. Our tree looks pitiful. Everything's small because everything's wireless now. Technology keeps changing. Things don't hold their value. You get something, it's out of style. You get something, it's no longer cool. And we're so easily manipulated. Like even the brand Champion that all the kids are wearing. When I was coming up, Champion went bad. You could buy it at Walmart. So the Champion execs got together and they said, I don't know if they said this, but they said, Americans are so stupid. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pay a bunch of NBA, major leaguers, and NFL players to wear Champ. We're going to take it out of the stores for 6 months. We're going to pay famous people to wear it, and then it's going to change the game. Then we're going to mark it up 60%. Now Champion's on top. I wish I'd have bought every $3 t-shirt said Champion on it in the 90s at Walmart. Now my kid wants Champion this. I'm like, it's a C. It's a t-shirt with a C on it. Things don't hold their value anymore. But I'm telling you something that holds its value. Salvation through Jesus Christ. Hope, grace, love, peace, joy. It holds its value. I first received the indescribable gift at 8. And theologically, I can mess with you. But all I can tell you is from 8, through my journey to being called to preach and coming back to the Lord and struggling with my flesh and things being revealed to me, I can look back and I can see Jesus. It held its value when I buried my friends. It held its value when I felt like everybody was ashamed of me. It held its value when I wanted to die. It held its value when people said, you'll never make it. It held its value when my friends left me. It held its value when people gave up on me. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ and his love still holds value in my life. And if you'll grab hold of him, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. It still holds its value. David would say, would my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will lift me up. Oh, I'm telling you, it holds its value. Jesus is the best gift you could ever have. He's the greatest friend you'll ever keep. He's the greatest peace you'll ever experience. He's a life changer, a game changer, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Next, it matters how much it costs. It matters how much it costs. This gift's going to cost you something. It costs God everything, but it's a free gift to you. It's free to you, but once you grab hold of it, it's going to cost you everything. Salvation is free, but the sacrifice you'll make to pick up your cross and follow Jesus will cost you everything, but you gain everything too. You lose everything, but you gain everything. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In the midst of our struggle, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our hurt, he died for us. Don't you think God knew how rotten you was going to be when he died? You think you're going to live up to the kingdom of God by your good works? Your righteousness is that of filthy rags. While we were yet sinners, grab hold of that verse. It irritates the religious people, that verse, because it shows the manifold love of God that while you were in your junk, when you were at your worst, he still did it. You didn't deserve it. He still came through for you. It matters how much it costs, for the wages of sin is death. Sin will cost you your life, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So yeah, sin will cost you something, but I'm telling you, grace will change your life, set you free, and it will give you an inheritance and an eternity with him. The Bible says in Ephesians, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, for it is by grace we've been saved. Grace, God's grace that is greater than all of my sin, all of my shame, all of my struggles. It's indescribable. I choose to celebrate it. Some people reject it. Some people wrestle with it. Some people criticize the gift. Man, I just celebrate it. I grease up in it. I waller in the grace. I love it. I waller in it so much. I grease up in it so much it irritates people. But I've yet to hear a pastor or a theologian come close to describing the riches of his grace. I've yet to hear anybody even come close to describing what my God did for me and what he'll do for you if you'll receive the free gift of his grace. It matters where it came from. It matters what it looks like. It matters what benefits it offers. It matters how long it will hold its value. It matters how much it costs. And finally, I close right here. It matters how the gift is received. A gift cannot be enjoyed or experienced unless it is received. A gift cannot be enjoyed or experienced unless it is received. You can wrap it, you can buy it, you can mail it, but the recipient has to make a decision to receive the gift. They can reject the gift or they can receive the gift. And I am telling you this morning, it is in your best interest and your family's best interest for you to finally receive the gift of God's grace. I've done my dead level best to describe what that gift has proven throughout history and certainly what it's meant to me, a human being. But it's so much more than I could ever preach to you about. All I can say is, you need it, God paid for it, and it's free. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life, should not perish, which means you don't have to go to hell. You have everlasting life because of the free gift of God's grace. Oh, I'm telling you, he is the greatest gift. And remember the price he paid. Remember how much the gift cost this season. And make sure that you don't leave this morning without receiving that gift. I close with this story I heard about a professor at a university, life science professor. It was a naturalist. He'd been observing this ant bed for some time, and he loved animals and creatures and nature and those kinds of things, and he'd grown attached to this ant bed. And I mean, he really studied it. He tried different things. He tested the soil. He'd been connected with this ant bed for some time. It was right outside of his office. They were building a wing onto the science building for this particular university, and the day came when the bulldozers came, and they were going to have to dig up that ant bed. And he'd grown so attached to the ant bed, he in a panic, tried to rescue the ants. And all they did was they bit him, and they ran from him. And he said, if only I could make them see that I'm for them and know what's best for them. Do you ever wonder how God feels when dealing with us? And we have a soul, a nephesh in Hebrew. We have a conscience, which means we can hear from God and we can see God in our surroundings. But you ever wonder, like, what God says about us or how he feels about us? We know he loves us, but do you ever wonder if he gets frustrated? Because here he's given us this beautiful gift of life, this gift of grace. And we take it for granted. We reject it time and time again. And all he wants is what's best for us. It's not a list of rules. It's a relationship. It's an indescribable gift. And God wants you to have it. And I want you to have it. Bow your head and close your eyes. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you an opportunity to do something many have done this month during this series. I want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life and accept his indescribable gift. The Bible's real simple. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Which means you'll be saved from death, hell, and the flesh. You'll be saved from it. You're guaranteed eternal life. God promises that. All we have to do is receive the gift. And how do we receive it? We confess our sins. We say, Lord, I believe you are who you said you were. And Lord, I accept you into my heart as Lord and Savior. I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now to help you do that, to help you receive this gift. And so, like the 100+ this year, you can be discipled. You can connect with a local church, which is the body of Christ, and you can find out what purpose God has for you here and there. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, whether you're watching online or you're in the house, if you need Jesus, you say, Pastor Ronnie, I'm convicted, I'm struggling, I'm lost, I need a touch from God. Just pray this prayer with me. In Abba's house, I'm going to ask you to help me this morning. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Please come into my heart and save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me for your glory. Hallelujah. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it and you're not ashamed, I want you to meet me down here. Maybe you're already saved. Maybe you just need somebody to pray over you and love you. We'll do that. It's just going to be me down here for now. If you need Jesus or you want to connect with this church, you say, Pastor Ronnie, I'm saved, but I need a church home. I need to be a part of the body of Christ. I want to help you reach people. I want to help get this message of grace out there. I want to come in covenant with this church, help you do what God's called you to do. I need you, man. And if God's calling you, don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. Listen, in the New Testament, they didn't even consider you saved unless you're connected with a body of believers. And I'm not being legalistic, but I really believe this stuff. Like, I really believe you should be connected to a church. We're not perfect. I'm not. Some of our staff is, but I'm not. But we need you. You say, I've got struggles. Welcome to the club, man. Welcome to the club. We still need you. So if you need to be saved, you prayed with me, you want to join this church, you come down here now. Come on, let's give her a hand. Come on, stand on your feet with me.